All right, you got a double shot of Cliff Wheeler Band with two of my favorites, Long Gone and Son of a Son. And now you get, you know, the number one favorite, you know, as far as Cliff Wheeler Band goes, because I got the man himself on the line. What's going on, brother?
Not much. What's happening, Cos?
Oh, you know, it seems like we haven't talked in like 24 hours, man.
That's about right.
For those of you that aren't familiar, Cliff and I, we get a chance to hang out and talk on a regular basis. So, so there's not going to be anything new for me, but hopefully I've got it figured out in a way so that we can kind of get you guys up to date on everything that's been going on since September of 2019, dude.
Yeah, man. Actually, 8:11 p.m. Was the last time we talked on air. It's when we started talking on air.
Man, for some reason, I was thinking it was just like a year ago. That's like a year and a half. And so now I really got to go back in the Wayback Machine here, because you've had a lot of stuff going on since September 2019. I mean, let's see, at that point, the album was out and we were playing the hell out of that. Had you released Sober Again at that point? I think you Yeah.
Not sure. No. That was a 20 song.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we do have a whole bunch to get to talk about. But first let's where I now I don't even know where to start. Damn. Because I don't want to talk about the new single yet. So I guess this is what I'll do. Is why don't you tell us everything that's been going on with you and the band since the last time we spoke?
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that is a lot. So I put out a solo single, Sober Again, and it did pretty well. Got a little radio time in the Carolinas on FM stations, and we did a music video for it that Garrett filmed and produced, and that did pretty well as well. Let's see, and then after that, we rolled into the early part of 20. We had a little tour lined up, and we did a little, we were going to try to do South by Southwest again. We were invited again to go out to South by Southwest, Texas Indie Fest, and to do them again. And then, of course, COVID hit, and the timing wasn't going to work out anyway. So we had already decided we weren't going to do that. So we were just going to do a small tour within the state of North Carolina. And we got most of that done. And then COVID hit and everything locked down. And so we were like, geez, what do we do now? And so the band spread out all over the state. Mel and I were holed up at Oak Island. Garrett's in Wilmington. Johnny's in Wilmington. Gary's back in Lemon Spring in Sanford, excuse me. And so we just sort of didn't know what to do. So I had this other song that I'd written as a song I was going to bring to the band, and record. And I had already laid down a guitar track for it and vocals. And so I just went back and tweaked it a little bit because some time had gone by. And so I put out the farewell song, which is another solo acoustic tune. Let's see. From there, we got the band back together, came up and rehearsed for a week or so in the Music Barn in Lemon Springs. Everybody's still pretty much on lockdown, and we rehearsed and went and recorded the song Sunshine, and went down to Wilmington to Hourglass Studios, where we do all of our recording, and recorded it, put it out. It did well. It's pretty kicking tune. We did a music video for it. Then about 4 or 5 months later, I should have drawn out a timeline. Didn't know we were going to go down this road. I had another song I'd written, Trouble Is, and we recorded it. And in between Sunshine and Trouble Is, we signed a management deal with Any On Air Records. And they have connections with White Line Audio. And so we ended up doing like a joint venture on Trouble Is. And it got distributed. It was a joint venture between the Cliff Wheeler Band, Indie On Air Records, and White Line Audio. And it was distributed by Sony Orchard, The Orchard, which was a step up from us doing everything completely independent. And then from there, I had this killer tune that a friend of mine wrote, a mutual friend of ours wrote. I won't go too much into that yet, but that I've been wanting to do, and I just felt like it was the time to do it. And so Garrett and I tried to stay true to the song, but did a little different arrangement on it, some different instrumentation, and went in and recorded it, and it's being distributed by Universal Music Group's Ingrooms. Again, a joint venture between the Cliff Wheeler Band, Indie On Air Records, and White Line Audio. So that's it in a nutshell.
You did pretty good for not having a timeline in front of you, too.
Yeah. I haven't had too many shots yet.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I got one staring at me right now. And you know, for those of you that are listening, get a shot. Because here in about 2.5 minutes, Cliff and I are going to do one. We won't do it yet. We'll give everybody a chance to get prepared for it here. So, number one, I had to chuckle a little bit when you said, yeah, we were invited to South by Southwest, but we decided we weren't going to do it. Because we're the Cliff Wheeler Band, damn it.
Nah, it wasn't quite like that. No, for those of you that don't know, my son is my bass player, and one of his, well, and mine too, and good friends is our drummer Johnny Handy are both seniors at UNC Wilmington. Garrett's a music major, and Johnny's an English major, and the timing with spring break just didn't line up where we could, without killing ourselves, make it out to Austin, Texas, and back, and really have any fun doing it. It would have just been murder to do it. So we decided to pass, and they ended up canceling it anyway. So
right.
So we ended up not really missing anything.
So with the recording that you got, I mean, the solo recordings are one thing, but you go into basically the second half of 2020, and you decide you guys are going to start recording as a band again. You had to do it a little bit differently this time around, didn't you?
We did. And to be honest with you, Kyle, I think, you know, if you're not learning, you're going backwards. And I think we've learned how to record better. For the last three singles, you know, Garrett's I said music major, but he's technically a music technology major. And so the last few singles we've gone in, and Garrett and I have actually recorded demos in a home studio and to a click track where we've got the right beats per minute, and we put the basis of the song down, vocals, and then we email it to or Dropbox it to everybody, so everybody has time independently to work on their parts and because I'm not a guy that writes every little part and stuff. The way I operate is, if you play something I don't like, I'm going to tell you. If I like it, it's cool. And very rarely do I have to say anything like, I'm not digging that, but occasionally, but that's sort of the way it works. And so by doing that, then when the guys go into the studio, and we went in the studio one at a time, because of the social distancing and everything that's COVID oriented. So like Johnny was able to play his drums to the same click track with my same rhythm guitar, with my same scratch vocals that he's been rehearsing with at home for the last few weeks. And it makes the process smoother. And I think we're getting better recordings because of that. And regardless of what happens with COVID, I think we'll continue to go down that road.
Well, and I had the opportunity Monday to be in the studio, man. That's a great setup Trent Scott there.
Trent has an awesome place, and I call him the fifth Beatle because he, we've worked together so much now that we all five of us know how the others work and what our strong points are, what our weaknesses are, and Trent really helps us bring out the best. Really does.
Yeah, I saw him doing a little bit of that on Monday, and he is. I can now that I've met him and seen how he works, I can kind of get a little bit of his influence in the last, at least the last few singles that you guys have done. So you did Sunshine, which was awesome. You did Trouble Is, and then you start dropping these hints that you're going to do a cover song. And I've been telling everybody the story. Dude, you gave me like zero information on this one. On every other one, you know, I'd get to hear something a little bit early or get to hear some scratch tracks or whatever. This time you were just like tight-lipped and all of that. And in the end, it was worthwhile. But why don't you tell the story about getting to do Let Me Down?
Okay, well, so when the...
Oh, wait. Before you do that, though,
yeah.
Something's getting warm here.
Oh, yeah, my glass is sweating.
Yeah, mine is too, and that's a sin. So,
yeah.
My brother, cheers.
Cheers to y'all.
Ooh, I poured a big one.
Me too.
All right, now you can tell your story.
Okay, so when the Cliff Wheeler Band first came to be, and we first started getting played on Music Mafia Radio, which was the first radio station that played us, there was this what we now refer to as an OG band, Original Gangsters, called St. Luke's Drifters. And they had just had some killer tunes. It was country, punk, rock. It was all sort of blended together, which I really, really liked. And so I bought their CD. And excuse me, I'm going to have to get a drink of water.
I did him in, folks.
Much better. But anyway, the I think it's the first track on the album was this song, Let Me Down. And so St. Luke's Drifters had some member changes and morphed into the Nashville Nonprofits. I'm out in Nashville. And so I just hit up Mitch Laney, who was a bass player, who is the bass player and lead singer, and said, hey, man, I'm going to be in town for a night. If you want to catch up later and, you know, grab a bite or something. And so we did and sort of hit it off. And then we just started discussing doing shows together. And all of that happened. And through that, I met Scott Kirk, who was the drummer in both St. Luke's Drifters and the Nashville Nonprofits. And Scott's the one that wrote Let Me Down. And I've just always thought it was a killer song. and I don't know if you'll remember, but way back in the early days, when I first became part of the Familia, I made a comment that I just thought it would be cool to cover some of the bands that were getting played on Music Mafia Radio. And I actually had a couple of other songs that I've written that I haven't recorded yet that were in the pipeline. But with everything that was going on, I just felt like it was that would be an opportune time because the band wasn't spending a lot of time together. And I just felt it was an opportune time to take advantage of that and have something that we already had a basis of what we were going to do. We just had to turn it into a CWB song. And so that's what we tried to do. I think it worked pretty well.
Oh, I think it worked really well. As a matter of fact, on last night's show, because it was the first chance I had to do it, I actually played both versions of it back to back. And it was the first time that I'd listened to both of them back to back like that. And comments in the show chat were, it was nice to see somebody take a song and make it their own, as opposed to just doing, you know, the straight note for note, line for line cover of it. And you guys definitely did that. But you kind of expanded the CWB sound a little bit with this one, too.
Oh, we did. Yeah, we brought in a friend of Garrett's that plays, you know, Garrett's got his side projects that he does too. And he's got this killer keyboard player, Thaddeus Friedline, that Garrett does a lot of stuff with. And so to back up a little bit, when I was trying to envision what I wanted the Cliff Wheeler Band song, version of this song to sound like, I wanted it to be our own, but I got this idea in my head of the band. And when I say the band, I mean the band, like the last waltz. And I was like, you know, if we do this right, we could sort of turn this into a Cliff Wheeler Band song, but with overtones of the band. And so we actually, for the last two songs, have had keyboards on them. On Trouble Is, it's real faint in the background. Garrett plays some keyboards, some Hammond organ. And then on this one, we've actually, there's two keyboard tracks because there's a little bit of organ in this one too. And then we got Thaddeus to play the keyboard part. And I thought he just knocked it out of the park. And when I knew that we had hit the sound that I was looking for, one of my great friends, Ron Stoppenhagen, who is also the webmaster for the Cliff Wheeler Band, I can't remember if it was a call or a text, but he said, man, he said, this sort of reminds me of the band, The Last Waltz. I went out and bought that album when it came out, and I love it. And so I was like, yeah, we hit what we were looking at, what we were aiming at, so that's good.
Yeah, and I mean, and harmony vocals and the whole bit this time, too.
Yeah, and we spent a fair amount of time on that, but yeah, and so and I will say the harmony vocals parts, you know, part of Garrett's education is that he has to do a lot of choral stuff, and so I'll give Garrett credit for that. I should give Garrett credit for a lot of stuff, but that was he was the one that really pushed there's a couple of times where there's five and six part harmonies. That was Garrett's influence right there. But it just makes a cool tune, the tune cool to me.
Well, and the other thing I like too is there's that one little part there where you and Gary are playing a harmonized lead together. And to me, that was just totally sick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There again, some influence from Garrett. That was his idea. He said we should do, because if you think back, and I really intended to do more of this on all of our songs, because obviously I'm not the lead player that Gary is, that Filthy Uncle Tito is, but but I, you know, I'm a decent lead player. And so like on Vicious Cycle, there's some little harmony leads in there. And I really had meant to do more of that, but I just sort of gotten away from it. It was more like me and Gary just switching off. And so Garrett was the one, he's like, you know, when we do this, you need to go back and we need to do some harmony leads. So there again, that's Garrett's idea.
Wow. And it's Filthy Uncle Tito the Pirate now.
Filthy Uncle Tito the Pirate. You are exactly right.
I am exactly right. I'm allowed to give him a little bit of a hard time. So, and I mean, you and I, obviously we've talked about this a lot, but you did give Garrett a little bit more, say-so on this one, didn't you?
I did. So not just on the, on the song, but also the, music video that will be coming out soon. We've always co-produced, Garrett and I have always co-produced, but it was up until this point, it was predominantly me calling the shots and him making suggestions. This time we sort of flipped the role and I let him take the lead on it. I mean, when I say I let him take the lead, it is a Cliff Wheeler band. I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, we've had that talk before. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. And I think he did a great job. And so it's good. I mean, and we yin and yang pretty good. I mean, we butt heads. But at the end of the day, we're trying to accomplish the same thing. We want to put out really good music that people will enjoy. And so at the end of the day, it works for us. And nobody goes away mad or with their feelings hurt.
Well, you know, the favorite term in the Cliff Wheeler band is brutal honesty, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, brutal honesty.
Got to have it. All right. We've talked about it. I got to play it a couple of times, even though I've heard it more than a couple of times here in the last week. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to play the latest single from the Cliff Wheeler band, Let Me Down. I've got Cliff Wheeler on the line, and we'll be back on the other side. Of course, Fitty's going nuts over it in the show chat. Absolutely love this. Well, you should love it. Number one, it's a Cliff Wheeler band. Number two, it's a Scott Kirk song. And number three, we play it here. I mean, you're supposed to love all the music we play here. All right. So off air, you were saying you had a list of people that you wanted to thank for being involved with that.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned Trent to start with. But Trent Harrison at Hourglass Studios is just a great guy. And if anybody wants to record in the coastal North Carolina area, I highly recommend him. Hit me up and I'll hook you up with him. And then, of course, from the management company, Jeff Popka and Rick Bedell and Paul Sorwick for helping us get the distribution deal through Marcus Atkins with White Lion Audio. And then obviously Ingrooves and Universal Music Group for distributing it. I'm just now getting to see numbers, but they're looking pretty positive. So we're excited about that.
Well, it doesn't surprise me at all. And I said that on air or off air as well. So, you know, it's kind of funny. You mentioned Popka. I'll take this in a different direction.
Okay.
And ask, you know, now that things are slowly starting to get back to normal, what do you see happening with CWB through the rest of the year?
Well, things are definitely starting to pick up. We signed a contract. We're going to be a co-headline with at Carolina Indie Fest, which I'm proud to say I helped. I didn't have any the players to each other, but it's going to be in September. There's 32 indie bands from across the country coming to Sanford, North Carolina, which is about 35 miles south of Raleigh. And it's going to be a two-day festival. It's going to be really, really cool. And so we're excited about that. There's a couple more festivals we were supposed to play at that still have not been confirmed. We'll see about those. But Sanford is definitely, or the Carolina Indie Fest is definitely happening. There's one in Michigan, but I'm not sure if we're going to make that run or not. But, you know, I talked about Garrett and Johnny being in college. So they graduate May the 8th, both of them, and can't be happier for them or for me and Mel. But I'm going to try to put together a short run tour right after that. Maybe not in May, but maybe sometime in June. And then if the ISA awards happen in person, you know, the Cliff Wheeler Band are judges this year, so we'll be down for that. And we've been talking with Limberlost and Wicked Tree about putting together a tour that ends, at least for Wicked Tree and Cliff Wheeler Band, ends in Atlanta for the ISO Awards. And then I think Limberlost is planning on touring across the country back home. We'll see how that works out. But things are opening up. Garrett wanted to do some father and son two-man unplugged shows, so we just booked a series of seven shows on Oak Island, North Carolina. Gary may play with us on a few of those, starting in April and going through October. So things are definitely picking up, and but I really hadn't been pursuing shows because everybody was shut down. But we're anxious, especially Gary, to get back on the road and start playing live. He's he was with us this weekend while we were filming the video, and if he said it once, he said it 10 times. Like, man, I'm ready to get back on the road and start playing live shows.
You see, I didn't pick up on that at all.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So the gigs are starting to maybe line themselves up in a way. What's next in terms of what we can expect to hear from the band in a new kind of way? Not there yet?
No. I've got a couple of songs written. The next one is probably going to be another solo song. Well, sort of a solo song. It's a little bit of a departure from what I've been doing as far as releasing new music. It will probably be a Cliff Wheeler song, but believe it or not, it's sort of like a bluegrass song. It's something different. I mean, I'm always trying different stuff. And so it will have other instruments on it. And we've talked about it. Garrett will probably still play bass, but it'll be, you know, a boom, 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 boom. It won't be his ripping the bass up licks. We got a music video, like I said, will be out in a couple of weeks. And then right now, what we've been talking about, and I've got a couple of songs lyrically done, which is a little bit of a departure from how I usually write. Most of the time I write music and then write lyrics around the music, but I've got a couple of songs done lyrically, and we have discussed an album January 1. So the single thing has been good. It's helped us stay where people are paying attention during the COVID thing, but I'm coming to the conclusion that I really like doing the album thing better.
It's old school. I mean, that's the way we always got music back in the day.
Yeah, and I'm definitely old school. Just ask Gary.
I think he might have pointed that out to me on more than one occasion.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
All right, so now I'm kind of curious about this bluegrass thing. I mean, are you talking about doing like full-blown bluegrass with mandolin, fiddle, the whole bit, or?
I'm sort of leaning that way.
Cool.
Like a lot of bluegrass songs are, it is sort of a comical song, I guess you'd say. And I've had it for a while. And I've actually performed it live once or twice. Not many, because I'm not really a bluegrass player, but I'm getting better at it. I've talked to people about going, I actually bought Garrett a electric stand-up bass for Christmas, if that tells you anything. And I'm thinking fiddle, banjos, the whole works.
Cool. And you said something else that made me think of something too. And it's about the songwriting process for CWB. And so I know, I mean, you and Garrett kind of hole up, you know, in the home studio and come up with the basic outline of the songs that you've been releasing here. But when it comes to what Johnny does and what Gary does, I mean, are you at the point where you can pretty much just say, here it is, and do what you think is right?
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what we do. Now, I will say, you know, that occasionally if I think somebody's overplaying, because I'm one of those guys that thinks that sometimes less is more.
Mm-hmm.
If I think somebody's overplaying, I'll say, you know, just back off a little bit. But yeah, that's pretty much it. We just give it to them. And then, as a matter of fact, I think the only one on Trouble Is, the only one that was in the studio when Gary recorded his lead for that. And I'll say that he has a lick in there, and I would struggle to describe to tell you where it's at. But he has this lick in there that just gives me chills every time I hear it. And the only people that were in the studio that day, I think, were he and Trent. Maybe Garrett. Garrett might have been there, but there's this lick in there that just, like I said, it just gives me chills. I mean, sometimes Gary amazes me the way he plays.
Oh, he amazes me every freaking time he plays. It's so cool to, and again, I mean, I had the opportunity to Monday to hang out with him a little bit, you definitely have an abundance of talent there in the band. Yeah, I was kind of curious about that. So now you say you've got a couple done lyrically. It sounds like you and G need to hit the studio and firm them up a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'd like to get the basic chord structure and everything done before we start trying to do demos on it and stuff. Plus, you know, like I said, Garrett and I've got these live shows coming up that we've got to prepare for, but I think we'll be in good shape. You know, we're putting, this song just came out. We'll have another, the bluegrass song I'm hoping to put out about mid year. And, I've learned not to give hard dates, but about mid year. And then, typically, you would want to do something, if you're doing singles, you would want to do it, you know, about at least once every quarter. But if we're going to do an EP or an album, and it could be either one, then waiting till the end of the year or January 1 to release it is fine. So we'll be in good shape. But, yeah, it's It's always a process. I mean, we're always, all of us are always working. You know, we hadn't talked about Gary's side project or Garrett's side projects that he does. And I'm, you know, I'm proud of those guys too for putting out their own music. And I'm really excited. I mean, I thought Caffeine that Gary put out was a killer tune. And, you know, we're a band, but we all have our own directions that we're going in at the same time. And but it's just a fun time to be playing music. It really is.
Yeah, with everything going on, and I mean, I'm seeing that all over the place because, you know, I'm getting ready to do another new music show of artists that we've got in rotation tomorrow night, and it's like the, I don't know, eighth or ninth one I've done since the beginning of the year. And everybody's saying the same thing. It's been fun doing music here lately. And you know, I got a chance to hear some of the early stuff with Gary's project the other day, and I can't freaking wait. And you know, G just released his EP here just a couple of months, not even a couple of months ago. And it's cool that they can go out and do the things that identify themselves as musicians, but y'all can come back together and put together stuff like, you know, Let Me Down and Trouble Is and Sunshine. And I mean, I can go down through the whole list there. I don't know that there's been a song that you guys have put out yet that we haven't played to death here on the radio.
Yeah, that is very cool. And I mean, but that's what it's supposed to be about. I mean, it's all about making art and having fun doing what you're doing. And, you know, Gary, I can't tell you how many times Gary said, man, if we were out on the road, I wouldn't be recording these songs, but I'm glad that he is. I mean, you know, that's like a legacy thing. I mean, that'll be here forever. You know, and they're good tunes, man. Mm-hmm. And Garrett's, the stuff that Garrett's writing, Garrett just keeps getting better and better at pretty much all phases. And so I'm going to brag on my boys. they're pretty badass.
You're all badass, each and every one of you. And I just got thinking of something else because you talk about, you know, you and G are going to be doing the father-son shows here on the pier this summer, and you guys actually did a bunch of those on the front porch of the beach house during COVID and kind of entertain the neighborhood at the same time, didn't you?
We did. And you know what's crazy, Kaz, is I have gotten, I can't tell you how many people have came up to me and said thank you for doing those porch concerts. I mean, they were rough as a cop. I mean, we would literally, and Garrett would hate me for this, but Garrett would be like, we need to be rehearsing. And I was like, well, you know, because I was working from home, so I had work to do. And he was like, we need to be rehearsing because we would like pick a theme or, you know, something different, try to do something different. And every night that we did them. And sometimes we just have to go out there and wing them. And I mean, literally print off the chords and the words and just go out there and wing them. But I can't tell you how many people have came up to me and told me how much they enjoyed us doing that because everybody was pinned up at home and couldn't go anywhere, couldn't see any live music. And I mean, and it was pretty cool, man. We started doing them and there was nobody in the driveway, you know, while we're playing. And then, by the time, you know, a few weeks into it, you know, there'd be four, five, six golf carts parked out in front of the house with people sitting on them and everybody doing, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, social distancing, people bringing beach chairs and setting them up in the yard, which we absolutely loved. But that was cool. And that was a really cool bonding thing for me and G too.
Well, and you know, you mentioned the part that we none of us saw that weren't there live is, you know, we could see you and G on the porch, But you did. And as it went on, you could tell that there were more and more people just wanting to hear some music. And you know, I'm sure there were some conversations going on amongst folks socially distanced and all that. But they were fun. I mean, Jen and I, we look forward to those every day.
But that was fun, man. We had a good time doing it. Like I said, every once in a while, Garrett would get a little stressed because I'd throw something on and he wasn't expecting, but it was good.
It's part of his musical education, because if he thinks he's going to go through the rest of his career knowing exactly what's going to happen, he and I need to have a talk.
Well, you've had several talks with him that I appreciate.
Well, you know, he's my little brother, and I love him to death. And May 8th, there's going to be we'll be doing more than one shot on May 8th. I'm pretty sure of that.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. All right. So why don't you tell everybody where they can get the music, where they can get a hold of you on social media, and all that junk.
Yeah. Okay. Let me think about it. It's been a while since I've done this. So the web page is www.cliffwheeler.us. Facebook is Cliff Wheeler Band. Instagram is Cliff Wheeler Official. And Twitter is @MacWheelMusic. Our music is everywhere. Any of the major platforms or anywhere you buy music, we're out there. And we'd sure appreciate it if you download our music. It's called Streams Don't Pay Nothing.
No, Spotify's Satan. That's the only way to put it. And I want to remind folks, I came across this over the weekend. But when you're listening to Music Mafia Radio on the Live 365, either on the website or the Live 365 app, when a song's playing, there's a little shopping cart button there, right there on the player, that'll take you to Apple Music so that you can buy the music. And I'll get anything. This is not a Music Mafia Radio thing. It's something that Live 365 does. So when you hear something you like, now there's no excuse, because you can continue listening to it and just hit the little buy button. And, you know, I mean, Let Me Down, it's a badass tune. You got to have your own copy of it so you can listen to it whenever the hell you want.
And I will say this, Kaz. I was Monday morning when we were talking. I said, well, I'm going to send you Let Me Down. And you were like, nah, dude, I've already bought it. And thank you very much.
Well, I needed to have a copy of it too, because, you know, I'm up front with everybody. The Music Mafia Radio library is for Music Mafia Radio. If I'm creating playlists for myself, it's with music that I buy. And that's one that was going on my beach playlist for sure. Cause there's going to be music on the beach this summer. I guarantee it.
Yeah, sounds good. There's going to be live music on the beach this summer.
Well, yes, there is, and I need to get over there and talk to those guys and see if maybe we can, I don't know, maybe broadcast some of that music.
Oh, I'm sure we can arrange that.
I'm not too terribly worried about it myself, but yeah, there's going to be a cool summer. You guys, here over the last, well, let's see, well, Sunshine. What was that, like August, September, somewhere around in there?
Yeah.
I think so, because I think it's about the – I think it was right around the time Jen and I bought the house. You know, between Sunshine and Trouble Is and Let Me Down, you've given us some great music here over the last few months. And if we got to wait for an album first of the year, I'll suck it up and I won't whine about it a whole lot. I mean, you guys, each time, and I'll tell you, these last three, I can hear the difference in the recordings. And you kind of alluded to that earlier, because you've been taking a different approach with these three and everybody going in and laying down their tracks separately. And I think that probably works for a couple of different reasons, because you know, somebody like Gary goes in and he knows that he's just going to be there to do his stuff and do it. But these last three have been stellar, brother. I mean, the first two albums were incredible, but you guys, it's like a whole different sound these last three songs, and you're definitely going in the right direction.
Well, thank you. There's a couple of things. You know, we recorded Wheeler, which was really before we were even a band. We recorded the whole album in 7 days. And, I mean, all the instruments, that, you know, all nine, I think there's nine tracks on that one. And so, but if it hadn't been for Wheeler, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing now. And so we sort of, like I said, we're sort of figuring the process out. But I appreciate the compliments. I really do.
Yeah. No, you guys, I mean, you're OG. You were talking about St. Luke's Drifters being OGs. You're definitely an OG around here as well. All four. Well, Johnny's kind of like, I don't know, the brother of an OG.
Yeah. Yep, we love us some Johnny.
Oh, gotta have some Johnny. Gotta have some Johnny.
Got to.
All right, my friend. All right, so thanks for hanging out with me tonight, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, man. I'll do it anytime you want.
And well, you know, I'll just ask all the time. Well, no. What I got to, you know, what I got to do. Well, you know what we got to do. There's a filthy guitarist out there that we got to find a way.
There you go.
We got to find a way. So you and I need to plot that. Cause I tried laying that in front of him on Monday and I get the same hell no response and I refuse to accept it.
So I think the best thing to do is a joint interview. And then once you get him talking, he won't stop.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I got an idea now. All right, cool. All right, so again, thank you so much for hanging out with me. What have I got? I don't know. What do I want to play? I want to play Sunshine. Yeah, that's what I want to do. So I'm going to let you guys listen to some more Cliff Wheeler Band with Sunshine. Again, thanks, Cliff. I'll be back here in a few minutes.